In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, but I say to you." Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, Tony Stark, and Peter Parker. If you didn't already know, these are the identities of some of the more prominent superheroes in popular culture. Their identities have remained hidden throughout the arc of their stories. For instance, the true identity of Batman is Bruce Wayne, a billionaire playboy who grew up in luxury. Bruce is witness to the death of his parents and is inspired to take up a life of vigilantism in order to protect the city of Gotham. Clark Kent, on the other hand, is literally an alien from another planet who is shipped to planet Earth as a baby when his planet comes under attack. Clark grows up as a normal American child, but he is gifted with superhuman abilities and is forced to keep his identity a secret to protect his family and loved ones. My personal favorite, Spider-Man, also known as Peter Parker, is a high school student from Forest Hills, Queens. He lives with his aunt and uncle because of the death of his parents when he was a small child, and then when on a class field trip to a science lab, he is bitten by a spider and receives spider-like abilities. While adjusting to his new life, he's witness to the sudden death of his Uncle Ben and wants to seek vengeance for his death. The origin of Spider-Man is a little more complex than I described, but Spider-Man is my favorite because of who he truly is. He's just a kid. He's a kid dealing with grief and anger. Also, he has to deal with the new superhero abilities and the need to excel in school. Although he may be this crime-fighting web-slinger, he deals with a lot of the same things we do. As a reader or viewer of the Spider-Man story, we, the audience, know his true identity. We know how complex his story is. As the character develops, we begin to see him come into his own as a hero and as a human being. We fall in love with these stories, with these characters, because their stories are so complex. There is a level of enjoyment we receive as witness to the development of such an illuminating superhero like Spider-Man. We watch his origin story develop as a nerdy high schooler to a superhero who is sure of himself and ready to take on whatever challenge comes his way. In the season of Epiphany, we witness something along these same lines as we see the development of Jesus from child to man and Savior of the world. Jesus begins to live into his full identity as the Son of God in the season of Epiphany. We are now celebrating the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany and have heard many highlights in the story of Jesus. The visit of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus, and today we heard about Jesus' desire to fulfill the law that came before him and not abolish it. We are witness to the story of Jesus unfolding right in front of our eyes. The Savior we were promised is here, and as Christians, we are able to walk alongside Jesus through the season of Epiphany. We are able to come into our own faith and experience with Christ. The visiting of the Magi is the first time that outsiders come to know who Jesus is. They bring gifts that are fit for a king, a god, and a redeemer, like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus being born in Bethlehem is the fulfillment of the Messiah coming from the line of David. Jesus would fulfill the covenant with Abraham, which promised that all the people of the earth will be blessed. In the baptism of Jesus, we are able to hear the story of how a dove landed on Jesus and God confirms him as his son. I see it as God's stamp of approval on the work and ministry that Jesus is about to do in the world. In today's gospel, we are in the heat of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We hear about Jesus' desire to fulfill the law, not abolish it. I see this as Jesus coming into his own identity. He doesn't need the Magi to come and deliver gifts, and doesn't need a dove to descend upon him. He himself makes claims that he will fulfill the law. He says things like, "You have heard that it was said," acknowledging what was said in the Old Testament. And he didn't leave it there. He wasn't content merely to reaffirm what was said in the past. He pressed on. "But now I say to you," in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus stepped boldly into a new way of being God's chosen people, Israel, and inviting the Jews to come with him. Jesus speaks on heavy things such as anger, adultery, divorce, and the taking of oaths. With all of these things, Jesus is more interested in the feeling associated with them rather than the action. That's how Jesus distinguishes himself from the Old Testament. In the eyes of Jesus, the feeling is the root of the action. Jesus didn't pick on those who commit adultery, but rather he focused on the feeling of lust in your heart. Jesus didn't focus on those who committed murder, but rather the feeling of anger that leads to murder. When Jesus focuses on our feelings, it becomes harder for us to grapple with. For instance, I can assure you that I have never committed a murder, but I certainly have harbored the feeling of anger in my heart. In today's gospel, Jesus insinuates that we cannot not sin. As humans, we are prone to things such as lust, anger, and greed. The only way we can begin to overcome these feelings is with Jesus. We are not superheroes. We cannot do this alone. We need Jesus. Jesus is challenging his hearers to grow up in the faith. As we've watched him grow through Epiphany, now his invitation is for us to come along with him and follow. However, many of us are resistant to change, unwilling to explore the advancements in technology, resistant to starting a new job, or moving to a new home. So why would our faith be any different? Some of us may be comfortable with our relationship with God and see no need to change it. We like comfort. What's the need to rock the boat? In the newest Spider-Man movie entitled Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter and his class go on a 2-week summer field trip to Europe. Must be nice. Peter is ecstatic about the trip because he thinks he can escape the craziness of New York City and put his crime fighting on hold for 2 short weeks. He thinks he will be able to spend time with his best friend Ned and begin building a relationship with his crush MJ. Peter is most excited about the opportunity to be a kid for 2 weeks. He even leaves his superhero suit in Queens as he goes on this field trip. However, Peter is sadly mistaken. Within a few hours of arriving in Europe, Peter is thrust back into action as the Amazing Spider-Man when the villain of the movie begins his attack on Peter and his classmates. Throughout the movie, Peter keeps grappling with the desire to be a kid. The attraction of being a kid is strong for Peter, but can you blame him? It's much easier to resort to things that will keep you in your comfort zone, keep you safe from becoming something else. What Peter comes to realize toward the end of the movie is that his identity as Spider-Man is as much a part of his story as his identity as Peter Parker. Likewise, Jesus realized that he had a greater mission than being a carpenter in Nazareth. Likewise, Jesus challenges us in the season of Epiphany to leave our comfort zones and grow up in the faith. In my seminary classes, we have a large range of ages amongst us, And our walks with God are all different. We came to know Jesus at different stages of our lives and are still growing in our understanding. They don't send us to seminary because we know God in some special way, but because we are willing to move where God is leading us. I think that is a healthy part of the seminary process and the faith journey as a whole. It is useful to hear one another's origin story to their faith and to know where their heart is. But don't think you have to be on the ordination track and go to seminary in order to grow in the faith. Epiphany is for everyone. Since being here at Grace, I have been helping Father Chase organize and lead some of our programming for our parishioners in their 20s and 30s. An event that I helped start is called Christ in Pop Culture. An aspect of the program is called a music share, where members are encouraged to bring in pieces of secular music and share it with the group and explain why it has spiritual meaning to them. The night is spent listening to and reading the lyrics from artists such as Prince, Chance the Rapper, and Laurie Anderson. The group has really taken ownership of the music share, and they bring in food and drinks, and everybody has a really great time. But what I enjoy most about this is that we are not afraid of being vulnerable with one another and sharing a piece of our spiritual origin story. Music has a way of breaking down barriers and showing a more personal side of us. Group members will often say, "When I hear this song, I feel this." Or, "When listening to this artist, I can't help but think of the Holy Spirit." My original intent of these music shares was for the group to become closer, but I think it has gone beyond that. Our group has developed a deeper understanding of their faith from hearing each other's stories. The season of Epiphany reminds us of Jesus' journey and his promise of spiritual growth when we follow his path. Just as we share in the journey of Christ as he comes into his own identity, we can help each other come into our own. In both my experiences with my seminary classmates and our 20s and 30s group here at Grace, I've seen the reality of Epiphany dawn upon us, although it remains unclear if any of us will be superheroes in the kingdom of God. During my first year of seminary, I was fortunate enough to take a trip to the Holy Land with some of my classmates. During our trip, we decided to walk along the Sorrowful Way, or in Latin, the Via Dolorosa. This is believed to be the path that Jesus walked on the way to his crucifixion. It is about 2,000 feet long, and it is a popular path for Christian pilgrims to walk as part of their Holy Land trip. So as good pilgrims do, we walked along the path at about 6 a.m. to avoid the swarms of people who do it daily. The old city of Jerusalem was quiet, much more quiet than it had been throughout the day. As a group, we carried a cross and a devotional book of prayers to say at each station. It felt surreal to walk the path that Jesus did on the way to his death. My heart was heavy, and my spirit led me to believe Jesus was walking beside us pilgrims that day. We were able to move with ease throughout the normally crowded streets. We weren't on the way to our deaths, but we were holding both the pain and the joy that we have experienced on our own spiritual journeys. We left that day having a deeper understanding of the pain and suffering that Jesus must have endured for us on his path to the cross. The season of Epiphany is an opportunity to enhance our relationship with Jesus. Week after week, we hear the origin story of Jesus becoming the Son of God and living into who he truly is supposed to be. The one to fulfill the law, not break it down. Epiphany invites us to be more active in our relationships with God and be aware of where we are on our paths, becoming who we are supposed to be. We don't have to be superheroes to become who we truly are, but we can be loyal followers of Jesus. Will following Christ turn us into superheroes in the kingdom of God? We will never know unless we take the next steps. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, but I say to you." Amen.